Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Kelly.
You still stuck in Texas?
Yep.
You sound thrilled about it.
I mean, you know, I've kind of resigned myself. Is that the right word?
You've quit your job?
No. I have my hope and dreams are gone. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm here, and this is where I'm going to be forever.
So you're a married father, then your dreams are gone.
Yeah, I guess so, pretty much. You know, we're here, so let's make the best out of it. Stuck in Texas.
So how's Billy?
Billy's good. We got her into the new daycare center. She acts excited to go into, maybe not excited, but tolerant of the fact that she's going to daycare.
That's better than last week.
Before, yeah, she was having some problems. I don't know if it's because she associated it with getting sick. I tell you what, Lee has the harder part because she drops her off, and that's when she, you know, isn't too thrilled about being there.
Tell me you get the good part.
I pick her up.
That's
and she
best.
goes, my daddy, and then she runs to the door, and it's a half door, so like I'm standing over it, and she runs over to the door, and she like hits it, and she like holds her hands up for me to pick her up. So it's a pretty exciting moment. There's like this real love that I feel that lasts for a good 5 to 10 minutes, and then she's right back to just not liking me. She's very, I don't know what to say. She's just like kind of upset. Yeah. All right. I'll pick her up. She'll be really excited to see me. I feel like I'm the most important person in the world. And then about 3 to 5 minutes later, I'm back to, you know, not really registering on the people that she likes at the moment.
Wow. So you get a couple of minutes a day.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, any time, I feel like I'm constantly the one going like, hey, you can do this or you can do this, but you can't have this, you know, and it's just, I think she looks at me as the one who's constantly telling her no.
Probably because you are.
I mean, it could be, but I just, man, I don't want to raise a spoiled brat. My grandparents raised me.
You said you've been spoiled.
Yeah, so, like, I look back on all the things that happened to me and where I think some character flaws might have stemmed from.
Right.
And I'm like, I do not want to let that happen. You know, I did poorly in school because I wouldn't put in the effort because I wasn't, you know, kind of like made to. Or anything. So I want her to have good habits growing up early so that when she gets older, she's, you know, not a pain in the ass.
Can I give you some insight?
Yeah, I would love it.
That's a woman who raised an amazingly large pain in my ass.
Okay. Well, look, are we really going to talk about Richard like that right now?
So my daughter, what you're talking about in the twos, they go back through that when they're teenagers and suddenly you're stupid and you don't know anything and you just talk and you can't say anything that's outside of what their knowledge already is.
Okay.
And then my daughter went away to college and I wasn't there. And then she says to me, you didn't prepare me. I didn't know how to do all this stuff when I left. And I'm like,
I tried.
I don't know if I was holding my tongue or just holding back my arms from strangling her.
Was this when she was home visiting?
Yes. And when she came home from college, she told me all the ways that I ruined her life.
So. Oh, my God. Is it possible that you're exaggerating, being a little hyperbolic right now? Or, like, was she really like, you ruined my life?
She laid it all out. Yeah, so I didn't prepare her for college because I didn't teach her how to live on her own. And I'm like, are you serious? I taught you how to do laundry. I taught you how to cook. I taught you how to manage money. I taught you how to manage time. You often wouldn't listen, but I tried my damnedest. Some of these things you just have to learn on your own.
So just because I am taking notes so that I can be a better parent than what you were.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that she said specifically that you didn't do?
First of all, she said that I didn't get her the mental health help that she needed.
Okay.
To be fair to me, she would literally come in with a different diagnosis off of some Facebook quiz every day. It was absolutely insane.
Did she ever go to a therapist?
We offered.
Oh, she just was like, no, thank you?
She has a lack of follow through.
Yeah, therapist, dentist, there's all kinds of...
That's the other thing. Yeah, we did actually make her go to the dentist twice a year. And right. Having said that, she came home from college this spring break to get an infected tooth root canaled because when she went on her own, even though we reminded her and we pay her insurance and we give her money to pay all the deductibles, she just didn't go to the dentist.
I do think that was before we went on hiatus. That was one of the last little updates that we had.
My favorite part of it was she said, I don't even want any of my teeth. Just pull it. I don't want a root canal. I'd rather just not have any teeth. So clearly my daughter makes non-emotional, well-thought-out decisions.
Hey, you know, look, since I've been here in Wichita Falls, I've noticed there's a lot of people that I think feel that way. I've never lived somewhere where so many people either had missing teeth or rotten teeth, and I'm like... Is the dental care that hard to, like, the insurance that hard to come by around here, or do people just, like, not care?
What's really cool about Wichita Falls is if you don't have dental insurance, there is a dental technician training program at the state college here.
MSU?
At MSU, and you can go in and get your teeth cleaned by the techs in training. And it's,
oh, man.
It's significantly cheaper.
That's awesome.
For sure.
And no one, I can tell you, no one is taking advantage of this program. But look, you know, as much as I like to talk about Billy on this thing, I do want to say, along with being a father and a husband, for a lot of people comes being a homeowner. And I am so over being a homeowner.
Well, can I make an observation?
Yes.
Today, instead of actually walking in clothing that I'm used to seeing you are still in your work outfit, and it's like, what, 7-8 hours after you got off work?
Yeah, I got off. I went and picked Billy up. Then she and I went to Home Depot to get something for the front door. And then we got home, and I was working on it. Then Lee got back, and it was like, hey, can you cook while I start packing some stuff? Because we're leaving tomorrow. And then I got back on the door before finally coming here. So I haven't stopped. But it's just everything with a house. I miss renting. I miss being able to call up a landlord and being like, hey, the door keeps slamming. I don't know what's wrong with it. Can you come out and fix it? Or, hey, a tree limb fell off of the neighbor's tree and hit the fence, and now half the fence is laying on the ground. But when you own the home, there's nobody you can call.
You are the landlord.
That's it. You're stuck with everything. And either you figure out how to do it yourself, or you can plan on spending at least $200. Because nothing that you do for your house costs less than $200. I don't care what it is. By the time you're done, you're going to have $200 missing out of your bank account.
I feel like you're lowballing that.
I'm going with, like, the smallest things. You know, like, starting out, you're going to have to, like, whatever parts or whatever you're buying, like, it's $200.
And God forbid you have to actually call a professional.
I don't even want to think about it because I used to work as a handyman, and I know, like, I charged, you know, like $40-something an hour when I lived in Los Angeles, so I'm sure it wouldn't be quite as much here, but it's just, I just know that it's going to be more than I want to pay somebody to do something that I could more than likely look up a video on YouTube.
Mitch, when you were a handyman, what did your outfit look like?
For that, I just wore my regular clothes because I was just working, you know, for myself.
Okay, so in my mind, when you said you were a handyman in L.A., I pictured you in some, like, Daisy Duke cutoff shorts and a crop top coming like, hi, I'm here to fix what's broken.
Do you think that I'm, like, shooting gay porn on the side while I'm working as a handyman. It just seems like an odd outfit to, to go hang up gutters. I did. I mounted a lot of TVs, actually. That was the main thing that I got hired to do.
He mounted them?
I got on them, and I fucked those TVs. No, I hung TVs on people's walls. I mounted TVs, and that was it was a pretty simple process, unless they wanted, like, the wires running behind the wall. But for the most part, it's, like, 3 bolts, and you walk out the door.
What'd you charge?
Normally, it was just like $50. A lot of people, because you charge by the hour.
Right.
But a lot of people, for the TVs, because of how easy it was, or like they would say, like, I charge a minimum of 2 hours. That way, they would get $80 to $100 to mount a TV.
Wow.
But, I mean, if you tried to get someone from Best Buy to come and do it, like, it's going to be much more. So, it's still a deal. I just kind of felt bad saying, like, look, I'm charging you a minimum of 2 hours for something that takes me 4 to 5 minutes.
If a handyman told me they were charging me a minimum of 2 hours, they would be fixing that door and that fence, too, while they were there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that I did where, at a certain point, I was just like, look, this is taking a lot longer than I thought it was, so I'll, like, knock an hour off of your time.
Okay.
I tried to be a decent person, but regardless of how much stuff that I did, like, in the past, there's still always something with your home that will catch you off guard. I got this storm door that has an adjustment screw so that it closes slower, but every time you open the door and walk away, it slams so hard that I'm just waiting for it to fall off the house. And it couldn't be much older than when we bought the house, which is about 2 years ago. And it's nice. It's top to bottom glass. It's beautiful. I don't want anything to happen to it, but I'm just.
I thought when you said it slams, I thought you were worried about your child's fingers or something getting caught. You're worried about the door?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm not letting my daughter, like, be around it when it's opening and closing hard. I keep it locked. It's got a small thing. I'm not worried about her. She takes care of herself. The door, on the other hand, is not sentient and does not realize when it's about to break.
I mean, they're both about two, and they're both kind of being turds. So
yeah, that is true. The door and the baby have a lot in common right now.
So I hear in comedy that you went and performed this weekend in a couple of different places.
Yes. Friday night, I went to the Comedy Mothership in Austin and performed there in Little Boy. And then Saturday, I headlined Hyena's Red Room, which is the smaller room in Fort Worth. So I drove 5 hours down to Austin, had a great night, drove 3 hours back to Fort Worth. And, you know, it was a fun show. It just wasn't nearly as many people as I was hoping it was. I tried this new form of promoting through text messaging, but it didn't provide any outcome. So
live and learn, huh?
Yeah. I mean, next time I'll do it through Facebook like I have been doing for the shows here. That
right.
I've been working
and that's
out.
Been really successful. When is your next show here?
September 30th. It's going to be at 9th Street Studios, September 30th at 7:30. Tickets are available on wichitafalls.ticketleap.com.
That's leap like a frog.
There'll just be a thing there to click to buy tickets. I thought, like, what I could do is play audio of me doing a joke for the very first time.
I would love to hear that.
And then we can kind of, like, see, like, this is just me thinking something out and then getting on the stage and doing it. And this is, I feel like, maybe a good example of what, you know, the time going in. I'm on a pretty important stage. In my mind, I think to myself, now's a good time to try something completely new. But I think that.
So this is recent. This is just.
This was Friday.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Where I
recent.
Went up and I did a brand new joke at Joe Rogan's Comedy Mothership. And I feel like it went pretty good. So let me pull this up real quick and just let you hear it. Okay. So I'm going to start it here. This is just kind of like the intro getting ready. And then it goes into something else. But what I say right here, I've never done that before either. So here we go.
wife and I, we used to fuck so much, and she was so good at it, and it was, my wife is amazing in bed, as far as I can remember. But it's not her fault. We have a 2-year-old now, and it's like, are we gonna fuck, or are we finally gonna sleep for a little while? And she'll, like, go to put a move on me sometimes, and I'll just be finishing putting on my CPAP machine. And I'm like, not...
not tonight, you know.
I try to stay healthy. That's a lie. I don't want to die, I guess, is the real thing. Because I have a daughter now, and not too long ago, I noticed I have this bulge, like, right here. And I was worried that it might be cancer. So I went to the doctor, and they had me get on the scale. And I go, oh, it looks like I've put on about 12 pounds since the last time I was here. And the nurse tried to make me feel better, and she was like, yeah, but don't forget, you know, your shoes and your clothes, they weigh about, you know, 6 pounds. And I just said, I'm sorry, do you think the last time I was here, I just jumped on the scale naked? And was like, let's do as good as we can. And, like, since then, I just got so confident. I was like, let me put on these steel-toe boots, big old heavy coat. I feel good. No, bitch, I'm wearing the same thing I was last time. So they get me into the doctor, and they do a test, and they come back a little later. And they're like, all right, we got the results. That lump, it's a lipoma. And I was like, oh, my God, how long do I have? Not it. It's just a buildup of fatty tissue on your fat cells. And I've never wanted cancer so bad. I'm like, okay, so I'm so fat, my fat has fat. Is that what you're telling me? I'm gonna get a second opinion. I think it's cancer. Tell my wife everything's fat fine. Everything's fat. Tell her everything's fine. It's just fat on top of fat. She already yells at me every time I reach for a bag of chips. Okay, so let me tell her I'm dying. And she'll be nice to me for a little while until she catches on.
All right, so
that was hilarious.
About 3 minutes of brand new material that up until that point I had never done before. I just bring it up. I wanted to play that so that you could kind of hear kind of the steps that were there, the energy that was behind it, and how it sounded. You know, like, that's one thing that we always kind of hit on with your stuff is making it sound natural. I mean, at any time when you were listening to that, did it feel like you were listening to a script or something that had been previously written down? Or did it feel like I was just sitting there talking to you, telling a funny story or whatever?
That one.
Right. So this is where I fail. I don't really know how to get you to that point. I don't know when I got to that point. I guess that is an example of what they mean when they say finding your voice.
Right.
And it just takes a couple years, I think, for most people, a few years, and then you just kind of wander into it, maybe. I'm not 100% sure, but...
Do you remember a time when you didn't have your voice?
Oh, my goodness. I think I played that before we went on hiatus. I brought in that little recorder, and I played that.
That had to take a lot of bravery to bring in, because that is...
That was terrible, yeah.
That is so far from where you are and how you sound.
But, I mean, so here we go. You go and listen to that, and then you listen to what I just played for you, and you can see that it is possible to make a great deal of progression over time if you put in the work, right?
Yes.
So, where I was at, I think similar to you, is that I was funny before. I just didn't have the technique and the delivery down. And I think I think that you have the funny mentality down. Mm-hmm. You know, you just got to follow that road to smoothness, I guess, to where it almost seems effortless. Now, look, I had 5 hours in the car driving down there to kind of talk to myself about this 3 minutes and figure out how I wanted to. I might not have sat down and wrote it out like I generally right. like to or suggest to you that you do, but I had a really good amount of time to myself where I was able to work through that. And I think one thing, I don't know if I've always been good at it or not, but I can usually say something to myself that will make me laugh, and I'll go, okay, that's it. And maybe, you know, that's part of, you know, doing it for a while, is you finally get to a point where you don't have to test it out necessarily to feel confident in it, knowing that it's going to do well. You kind of just get to a point where you're like, yeah, I feel like this is a good bit right here. I'm going to try it out tonight. I'm going to throw it up on the second most important stage in comedy. The other one being the bigger stage at that club. But yeah, I think I want you to kind of listen to that and hear the beat.
You have your own cadence. The way that you deliver jokes is very unique to you. I was listening to Nate Bargatze yesterday.
Yes.
And he has a very distinct cadence.
And really great. One of my favorites. You probably saw the same one because it keeps popping up everywhere. But he goes, the guy that mows my lawn is my wife. And then he just goes into a nice 2 to 3 minute chunk about his wife mowing the grass and how it makes him look to the neighbors and everything. But yeah, he certainly has his own, like, when you hear Nate Bargatze, you know, like, hey, that's Nate Bargatze. You don't have to see a video to know.
So we decided that we were going to do a 5 minute Nate Bargatze style clean comedy challenge.
Oh, where's that going to take place?
Next Wednesday at the Deep End.
Okay.
We're going to do it. And it was kind of an idea just based off of, I don't know how much clean material any of us have.
Right.
And Nate is so funny, and he is so squeaky clean.
When you open for Nate, you got to be clean, too. Like, he doesn't want his followers coming in and watching somebody open for him that's dirty.
Raunchy, yeah.
Yeah. But you want to know what's really funny? So, Nate Bargatze, there's another comedian named Luis J. Gomez. And Luis J. Gomez is part of Skankfest. He's pretty dirty, pretty foul. Luis's daughter, Nate is her godfather.
Wow.
Luis and Nate are like best friends. They lived in New York at the same time. And
so what you're saying is he's not judgmental.
No,
knows what he wants on his stage.
I mean, you know, I think he's just a normal guy, but he maybe took a bit out of like Brian Regan's playbook and just decided that cleaner was the way to go.
It is more saleable because you can take it to places
it's more saleable. You can take it out on the high seas and...
Yep. It's like a paper boat.
Yeah, it is.
If people still got newspapers, we could make a Nate Bargatze boat and let it set sail.
I mean, look, you want to get hired for corporate events and things like that. Clean is definitely the way to go. You want to get more airplay on Sirius XM, clean is the way to go. It's a really, you know, I don't know what it is about me. I like doing the type of material that I do. Could I be just as funny being straight edge and not talking about sex or things like that? I mean, yeah, you know, I've got some really good jokes, but I don't know. Sometimes I just kind of go off the deep end and I like it.
Well, I think your comedy connects really well with the audiences who are also having sex and have wives and
Yeah.
Probably CPAP machines as well.
You know, I think something like 80% of the country is obese, but, you know, they're still fucking. So I guess there's a lot of people out there like me. Because we keep making more and more fat people. They don't just grow out of the ground.
So I actually saw the inside of Little Boy for the first time on Monday.
Oh, yeah? What were you doing? Did you go up there for the open mic?
I went up there for Kill Tony.
Right.
Got on the Mothership open mic list, and I got drawn.
Oh, okay, you did. You got drawn for what?
There's a Mothership.
The open mic or for Kill Tony?
For the open mic.
Okay, and how did you do with the open mic?
I was horrified because it was 3 minutes, and since the accident, I've gotten together my 1 minute if I got on Kill Tony.
Right.
But I've been neglecting going through the rest of my material. My brain is just still so foggy. Luckily, I'd shoved the majority of my notes into my backpack.
Right.
So when they pulled us all in, we were sitting in Mitzi's for 10 minutes, and I looked through some of my material. It came back to me. I edited it.
Chopped it up.
I salt bathed that shit right there.
Yeah.
And I went in and did 3 minutes, and it felt great. It felt great because the audience was there to see comedy.
And did you do a recording of it? Did you get the audio?
They didn't let us.
They wouldn't even let you get the audio, huh?
They told us no recording.
Interesting.
Okay. So I don't know that it exists anywhere, but it felt so good after so many open mics of just pain. It felt so good to be in front of people who wanted to laugh, and they laughed. And then after the mic, got tickets for Kill Tony and was inside, watched the entire Kill Tony show, went outside. Somebody recognized me on the street. And him and his friend were like, dude, you were so funny.
That's awesome.
And I was like, okay, is it okay if I carry that with me forever? That just.
So how many people signed up for the Mothership open mic?
I don't know how many signed up, but they pulled 10 names.
Right. But you don't know how many, like what was the ratio? Like, did 100 people sign up and 10 got drawn, or?
I don't think it was quite 100, just because at that particular time, like, we were waiting in line for tickets. We got in line for Kill Tony tickets at 3 in the afternoon, which is insane.
Did you see the one with Post Malone?
No.
No? Okay, that must have been the week prior. All right, hold on. Let's go back. I feel like, are there more people signing up for Kill Tony than for the open mic?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, because there was just under 200 people signed up for Kill Tony.
Wow.
With the open mic, it's earlier, and I don't know that people know about it quite the same.
Okay, and then what about, did Richard go down with you this time, or did you carpool with some other people, or?
So Richard was gone on a trip, but luckily my only child left at home is old enough to be left on his own.
That's so good.
I know, you're looking forward to that? I saw the dream in your eyes.
Just 3 more years.
Yeah, so during our last podcast, I was like, we were talking about how I wanted to make tighter comedy connections mm-hmm. so that I get to go to these things.
Right.
So instead of that, I just made it happen. I didn't wait to get invited. I was like, Hefe had said that he wanted to go down to Kill Tony. And so I talked to him the next Wednesday at open mic. And I was like, hey, I've got these dates that are good. When do you want to go to Kill Tony? They invited a couple of other people. It ended up just being 3 of us going okay. down.
And which vehicle did you take down?
We took my truck, my big black truck.
Okay, so 5 hours and $300 in gas later.
It was pretty spendy.
What was the ride like? You know, it can be awkward or uncomfortable or quiet, and it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, it was 5 hours in a car with a couple other comics. Like, how'd it go?
It was great. I have ridden. Tolu was the other person.
Okay.
And I've ridden with Tolu. I've driven both of us down to Dallas to do open mics.
Okay.
Because, like I said, I want to go. I want to go with people.
Right.
I'd prefer not to go on my own. I'm fine doing stuff on my own, but like stuff like this, I just would prefer to. You know,
I mean, 5 hours is a long time to drive by yourself. I know because I do it at least once a month. So
So Tolu and I had driven before, and he always has good conversation. Jeff had great conversation on the way down there, too. And then we came upon, I wanted to drive the back way.
Yep.
I like driving the back way. Which way do you drive?
Well, it depends, but for the most part, I drive the back way. Maybe coming back, if I have some reason to stop in Dallas, I'll come up 35. But what is it, 281 or something like that, that goes through all those little towns?
I love it.
Yeah, that's the way that I like to go. It might not even be slower.
According to my GPS, it's 1 minute slower.
There you go.
But there's no tools, so.
There's no, I thought you said there's no tools. There's and I was like, well, you had two of them in the car with you.
For a total of three. Yeah, so we had great talk. We went the back way, which is just beautiful. And I was like, hey, Tolu, you're black. We're coming up on Heiko. Heiko has this pie restaurant that I love stopping at. They have the most insane.
Wait a second. Is there some black people like pie stereotype that I'm not familiar with, or?
The name of the coffee shop is the Coffee Cup Cafe.
Uh-huh. Still not quite there with the black people thing.
Instead of being spelled with C's.
Oh! Wow. You know what's funny? So where I grew up, which was in the South, there was a... By the way, it was the Coffee Cup. What was it called? Cafe?
It used to be called the Coffee Cup Cafe, but and I think now they've changed it. Yeah, now they've changed it to just the Coffee Cup.
So where I lived, there was a little town called Comer, and they had a daycare called the Comer Kitty College, and that was with K's as well.
The
city of Comer is spelt with a C, so they really went out of their way to misspell every single word.
You got to be trying.
I mean, it never really hit me until years later. Also, it was kind of weird to see all the little black kids that went to that daycare, and I was like, man, do they not realize? Or is just daycare so expensive, they found one that's affordable enough, and we're like, look, we don't care.
We don't care.
We don't care what you guys believe. You're $50 less than what the other place is.
Well, from the time we got to Mineral Springs until we got to Heiko, the whole thing we talked about is what we were going to film for Tolu's skit, Tolu's introduction to the Coffee Cup Cafe.
Okay.
And we're sitting there, and he's like, yeah, no, I think I'll just say I'll stay in the car, paying around. And then Hefe's like, I'm going to go in and ask if they will serve coffee black. And it just...
Hey, you serve blacks coffee? I mean, coffee black? That's... sorry, that was a little...
My bad.
Yeah.
Slipped right out. Yeah, so we had a lot of fun kind of talking over that. I never saw the, I haven't seen the finished skit yet because we did a couple of things. And then, of course, we got pie. Pie is damn good.
Did the sign change?
Yes.
So did it kind of ruin the sketch idea?
I didn't think so. I mean, it's still spelled with the K and the K. And there is still one that's KKK on the way to Gainesville. There's a something country corner, and it's a gas station. And it is absolutely still KKK.
Oh, man. I'm really surprised. Somebody was talking about how Bowie or whatever it's called.
Yeah, when we drove past that, Tolu says, we're not stopping here.
That's a sunset town, right?
I mean, I've never been around.
Or at least it was in the past, but yeah.
I've never been around it at sunset. And also, by the way, not black, so.
Whew.
I mean, you were probably wondering from this deep tan that I have.
Yes, you're almost translucent, but sure, the deep tan.
You can see the blue.
Well, that's fun. So you guys had a good ride down together, lots of camaraderie.
We did, and one other thing that we did was we were going over each other's minutes, and we were tightening the screws. We're like, hey, those words are extra, or hey, you could say that with just a pause and then going, maybe.
Oh, man. So what were the jokes that you told for the Mothership open mic?
So I was going to do some of my radio pieces because I'm really comfortable with that set. And I was able to edit out all the, just take the highlights out of it and then do my Kill Tony minute. But it always goes slower on stage than it goes in my mind. So I wasn't able to get to my favorite part in my Kill Tony minute. But It went really well. I was able to pause for laughs and kind of be there in the minute.
And you respected the light? You saw the light come on? They have a big timer
They've
up there on the wall, so.
I walked the clock by a smidge. But
what is a smidge?
Like 12 seconds.
12 seconds? No, that's not bad.
I think.
Kelly?
It was somewhere right around there.
Okay. I mean, you know, just that's as long as you don't go crazy.
No,
what number were you?
One.
Oh, you went up first.
I went up first, and then they made me leave immediately after. Like, I wanted to hear the other 9 open micers. So what it is they pull the 10 open micers, and then it's a staff show.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know how it goes, yeah.
But somebody listening might not. So I wanted to sit down.
No, you're right. You're right.
I wanted to sit down and watch the other micers, but, like, the guy's like, hey, sorry, you can't stay. But he did fist bump me first, so I was like, okay. And I was flying so high.
I feel like I'm eventually going to have to. I mean, here's what sucks. What time was the sign up for that?
I don't know, maybe like 4 or 5 or
yeah.
Probably 5.
See, I would love to go down there with you and then we could hang out together in the club. But then if I have to take a Monday and a Tuesday off to do that, you know, like a Monday off so we can get down there in time and then Tuesday
right.
off so I, you know, because we're not going to. Did y'all drive back that night?
I called shenanigans on driving back because when I said, hey, what are your expectations for this trip? Because I wanted everybody to kind of be on the same page. And they said, I want to do at least 3 mics after Kill Tony. And I'm like, well, I'm not driving back. I will have been because I had to go in and do my show
yeah.
at like 6 in the morning.
Sure.
Because they wanted to leave by 10. So I had gone in super early to get my Monday.
They wanted to leave by 10 that night?
They wanted to leave by 10 in the morning.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Because they wanted to be lined up at 3. They wanted to be...
Oh, sorry. So Monday they wanted to leave at 10 in the morning.
Which screws me up because that throws my work day
right.
into chaos.
Okay.
So they wanted to leave at 10 in the morning so we could get there at 3 to stand in line for tickets. And they wanted to do 3 mics after Kill Tony. And I was like, well, I will have been awake for 24 hours. There's no way that I can drive back. And I want to drink if we're doing all of that.
Okay.
And so we got a hotel room.
All right.
So I paid all the car expenses, like I paid gas and the $51.50 to park at the hotel, and they paid for the hotel room.
Which hotel did y'all stay at?
We stayed at the Sheraton on 11th Street.
Uh-huh.
We'll not be going back.
There's a courtyard on 4th that's like right there.
Interesting.
And it has, you know, $50 for valet or whatever. And then, you know, it's just courtyard prices. You know, it's like $100-something a room, I think.
The only place that I've stayed down there was one place that charged $35 for parking. And that was the cheapest I've paid. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, parking downtown is kind of the worst part. But, you know, it's not a, it's you know, I don't know. It's just, you got to take that into consideration with your budget, I guess.
Right. And I think I have a better idea of what the cost is and we can split it a little bit more evenly next time.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to go down with you sometime just to kind of, you know, check it out and then give you a little better experience with the club. I think that would be fun.
Well, I had a great experience with the club.
I mean, like being able to like hang out and stick around and stuff.
No, that would be super cool. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I did have an absolute blast. By the time we got to the 3 mics, it was brutal. You know, especially coming off that mothership experience where there was an audience there who showed up to laugh.
You definitely don't want to, like, I've done this so many times where I go down there and I'll have, like, an 8 o'clock spot at mothership and then an 11 o'clock spot. And so I tie in things in between and maybe, like, one after. And there's always a time when I do a spot somewhere else and I'm like, why did I do this to myself? I just had the most amazing set, and then I come to this movie theater that's now doing stand-up comedy in the bar area, and it's like just garbage. And I get so upset with myself that I went from doing the best show to one of the worst shows just so I could have a little extra stage time. But, you know, then sometimes you do really well in those rooms, and you're like, yeah, I got it no matter where I'm at. So I guess it's part of it.
It was humbling, especially the creek in the cave. It's like very, very dark in there.
Mm-hmm.
The only people who are there are annoyed that you're on the stage because they're waiting for their time to go up and have their stage time.
So at the creek, the only people for the open mic in there are the
open micers.
Open micers. There's no other. But you know what? You're still. So listen, here, it, like when I talk about here in Wichita Falls and being at open mic where it's just the comics and it not being very beneficial or whatever.
Right.
That's because you already know all of them. And you don't really gain too much out of it. However, if you're in Austin, this is a big comedy city.
Right.
And you go down there and you're doing comedy for comedians, at least the ones that you're performing in front of, they might run their own shows down there or,
right.
or like you and want to introduce you to somebody else. So there's benefit to doing it in Austin for that reason.
One of the other things that I thought was very beneficial about performing at the Creek was the lighting is much more in line with how you get lit at an actual club. The lights are absolutely blinding.
Yes.
And you can't see the audience. And that's straight up how it is when you are in a regular club.
Yeah. I mean, the Creek in the Cave is a really good example of a comedy club that doesn't have millions of dollars behind it, you know? Like, I mean, it's kind of a dive bar, but they do a really good job of having the show. When I say it's a dive bar, like, if you walked in and didn't know it was a comedy club, you walk in and there's a bar to the right and a showroom to the left, but the showroom's separated by big curtains.
Yeah.
But if you just looked at it, you'd be like, oh, I bet they used to have a couple pool tables in here and things like that. You know, it just looks like it was a dive bar.
And they do have a stuffed bear.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And they got a cigarette machine.
I did not see that.
Yeah, as soon as you walk in on the right-hand side.
Oh, but I was distracted by the stuffed animal.
But, you know, this isn't like your Funny Bones or your improvs or anything like that. I don't want to say it's a step below because they still have on weekends like headlining comedians coming in and perform. But this is what, if you're a comedian that's on the road around the country, this is more than likely the kind of clubs that you're performing in front of. You know, it seats about 150 people. It's dark. It's kind of gross.
You're worried about getting hepatitis when you touch things.
Yeah, but, you know, the laughs are big.
Right, or non-existent in my case. So after the Creek in the Cave, we went to Sunset Strip, and that's a really great club. I was super excited because that was the first time I got to see Ty Rivera perform. And he is so natural.
The Sunset Strip is the one that my friend that passed away in December was going to open.
Oh, that breaks my heart. I'm sorry.
And Red Band actually came in and took over some of the financial responsibilities of it after my friend passed away and is part of the reason why the club was able to open up. So I've talked to Red Band and let him know how much that meant to me that he was able to become a part of it. That's kind of my weekend when I go down. Mothership and Sunset. So I absolutely love performing at the Sunset as well. What was the open mic there like?
It was very well attended. That was the one. That's the one I wanted to do the last time, but there were so many people who are just, I guess, kind of Austin royalty. That.
Oh, that's the one that you were at where Richard was like, I'm ready to go.
That's the one we had to leave from. So I have been waiting to do that mic for like a month.
Okay.
I was doing fine. I was doing great. I got the light, and then like 10 seconds later, the music comes up, and I'm like, was it something I said? And I was like, okay, I guess I'm done. And I put the mic up and I left. And the guy comes over to me and he goes, I am so
sorry. Oh, my
sorry.
Goodness. I thought maybe okay, that's what I was waiting on. Because
yeah.
I thought maybe your 10 seconds was more like a minute and you just didn't realize it.
No, it was really short. The guy comes over and he's like, I am so sorry. It was a technical issue. I'm like, dude, I work with soundboards all day, every day. I've had my own technical issues. It's no big deal. And he's like, I just want to let you know we don't edit for content. It was not anything that you said. It was, and he's like, can I get you a drink?
Hell yeah.
I was like, I'm not Mitch Burrow. No, I was like, no, honestly, it's fine. Don't worry about a thing. And
wait, you didn't get your drink?
No.
Oh, my God. What rookie move.
Oh, always take the free drink?
Yes.
My bad. All right. Let me get my pen. I'll write it on the palm of my hand.
Listen.
Always take the free drink.
That's what you're going to be performing for for the next couple of years is drink tickets anyway. So you might as well get used to getting your free beverage.
Oh, that's awesome. I wasn't sad about how I did it, and there were a couple of people who were just there watching, which was nice because they were truly paying attention instead of, like, cramming their own stuff or reading through their joke notebooks or drinking at the bar.
So was there another open mic after sunset then?
We went backwards and did Shakespeare's, and it was an event, let's just say that.
I'm not familiar with Shakespeare's. Can you tell us about it?
Shakespeare's is the bar where the performers wait who are signed up to do Kill Tony. It's between Sunset and the Mothership.
Oh, kind of right there next to that pizza place.
It is directly next to the pizza
place. Yeah, okay. I've seen the sandwich board outside.
Yeah, if you take the first right after the pizza place and then go upstairs, mm-hmm. that's where the comedy takes place, at least that night.
Okay.
It is a hoot. I think that mic goes on for flippin' ever because before when I've signed up for Kill Tony and not had tickets, there are people doing that mic while they're waiting to maybe get their name pulled out of the bucket.
Okay. And how was your experience with it this time?
So, I don't even know how to tell this story. Some drunk mofo went up there and started talking about slavery.
You were going to say the host. Do you know who the host was?
No.
Okay.
He said it at least 15 times, but I don't remember.
Was there anything that stood out about him?
He had a flannel shirt on.
Okay, well, that's everybody.
He was like a mid-weight white guy in Austin.
Okay. There's 1,000 of them, so.
Jeans.
Yep.
Okay. So this drunk guy goes up, and he starts talking about slavery. Well, in the front row is this black woman who was heckling the shit out of him. We got it on video on two cameras, but it was monumental. I don't know if this guy was drunk or high, but he was definitely not right. Maybe just mentally ill. How am I supposed to know? Not a doctor.
So he was talking about slavery and the woman in the front row. Like was she when she was heckling him? Did she seem angry or was she like just a comedian trying to have like be a part of it or what?
She seemed pissed off.
Okay.
She seemed like a fire was lit under her.
Oh, really? Okay, wow.
Yeah. And I think one of his lines was something like, so would you own slaves today? And he's going on like, oh, blah, 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 I'd pay him well. And she's back there going, they didn't pay the slaves. You don't know anything about slavery. Blah. Like, it was just ridiculous.
I mean, she does have a point. If he said that he'd pay him well, those are just employees. Those aren't slaves. The whole point of slavery is that you get to save a couple bucks.
He sounds like he doesn't have any friends because he's like, yeah, I just want people to play Fortnite with me. Or, I don't know, some stupid ass shit like that. Anyway.
Wait, what did this guy look like?
The guy on stage?
Yeah.
Tall, skinny, chemically challenged white man.
Chemically challenged?
I don't know if he was drunk or high, Mitch, but he was not.
I wish next time I really need you to write down names. And I need to know who these people are.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
I've got pens and paper.
Because what we're talking about here is open mics. And a lot of times, open mic is completely different than what someone's prepared set is for a showcase or a show, you know?
Right.
So I would love to hear the story of these people at open mics and then maybe be able to be like, oh, well, I actually performed with this guy on a weekend.
And he's tight as hell.
And he did great, you know, because there was one thing in Seattle when I lived there that I hated, and that is that people would go to open mics and then the people that, like, did shows and stuff, they would want to ban people from the mics or ban people from doing their shows. The way I always looked at it was this. It was just like open mic is a place to test stuff out. Now, I'm not advocating for going up and just yelling racial slurs or anything like that, but sometimes people try to touch on sensitive subjects because they see some humor in it. And just because it doesn't land the first time, you know, I think that that's no reason to think that someone's a bad person and say that you don't want them, like, performing at open mics or whatever. So
the comedian didn't get in trouble.
No. That what I'm saying. This is what happened in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
And so my point was always like, let people work it out. You know, if they do something and it's not funny or it's offensive, they'll learn that from the audience, and they'll be able to adjust it. Once you start not letting people work things out, you stifle their growth and their creativity. So what I'm saying is, I want to know who some of these names, because, you know, sometimes people use open mics for what they're for, and that's trying out new material. And sometimes people go up there and do stuff that they, you know, they do their hits just so they can do good stuff at a mic or whatever. Hopefully somebody sees them, or, you know, whatever. So I'd be curious to know if maybe some of these people. I'd love to know who does the slave free jokes.
I could recognize him. He was sort of an Ichabod Crane looking motherfucker. After his set, Tolu was supposed to go on. Okay. Tolu is a black man.
Yeah.
And the guy who had been hosting the open mic, I mean, we signed up right after Kill Tony, and he'd been there, and I don't know how long he'd been there, but he lost his shit and was demanding that she leave for heckling the comedians. And it went on for quite a while. Two security guys come up to try to defuse the situation. And they're like, she said she's going to sit here and be quiet. She's going to sit here and be quiet. And he's like, how many chances does this woman get?
I want to know who the host is again now. Because, I mean, it's an open mic. If it was like a regular show, yeah, but it's an open mic.
She was over the top.
But there was, but to be fair, there's a dude up there talking about slavery and owning slaves.
Right, that's also fair.
I mean, if you're gonna do material like that, you got to be ready for the fact that, you know, someone's gonna have a retort.
I'm not sure if he would have had the same reaction if he hadn't already said that a black man was on deck. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I have no idea who this guy is. So there we are, and we're sitting, and we're hanging out, just watching this shit show happen. And then Tolu goes up. And then Hefe goes up. And then I'm supposed to be on deck, but somebody important walks in, and they get their time. It was somebody who works over at the mothership.
Any idea?
I could describe him.
Okay, go ahead.
He was like a middle-aged white guy.
Okay.
All right. He was shorter. The man was wearing capris. He was wearing jeans that came just past his knees, which is something I've seen on middle-aged people, but always middle-aged women. So that stood out. He had a working-class sort of charm to him, and he sounded like he was maybe from the Northeast, maybe New Jersey.
Nope. No idea.
Yeah. He was... I think he's older than you, too.
Really? And he was a door guy at Mothership?
They said he works at the Mothership. I would assume he's a door guy, but I didn't see him on the door, but that doesn't mean a damn thing.
Okay. I'm going to have my eyes, like, open next time, looking for everybody, trying to figure out who they are from these stories.
So the host comes over to me when I get bumped, and he goes, you just take as much time as you want. I'm not going to let you.
Okay.
So this is my second host of an open mic out of three who's been, like, special treatment. And what's hilarious is Hefe and Tolu constantly say to me, must be nice to be a white woman.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, all things being said, it's pretty good.
You're just jealous because I have a vagina.
Yeah. I don't see how you get anything done with that thing.
So my trip to Austin was awesome. The ride back was way less fun than the ride there because everybody was tired. We stayed in a hotel. It had construction. It wasn't supposed to start to a certain time. I didn't go to sleep until after 3 a.m.
Was everybody drunk? Everybody get hung over the next day?
I wasn't with a big group of drinkers. They like other things.
Oh, they were all smoking pot.
No comment. So I probably drank the most out of anybody in the group, but honestly, I was just tired. By the time I did the last mic at Shakespeare's, it was around 2 in the morning.
I'm already tired just listening to the story, like just thinking about I'm still tired from this past weekend.
Right.
It just, like, being there, sometimes I'm like, thank God I live in Wichita Falls and I can only do this once a month. Whenever I drive back from Austin, I always think to myself, maybe I should go to AA. Because I got way too drunk last night. I am very hungover, and 5 hours is a long time to be hungover.
Yeah, 5 hours is brutal.
Yeah.
So I think in the future, I may go down by myself, but what I'll do is I'll fly, because I fly for free. So I'll fly from Wichita Falls to Dallas, Dallas to Austin. There's plenty of flights that go. There's none that come back that night, so I'll have
you
to
You just
the
do,
night.
Like, standby? Is that how you fly for free?
Yep.
Is you and a friend?
I have to pay just a little for a friend, but yeah.
Well, let's do it.
You want to go fly to Austin?
Yeah.
And then we'll take an Uber to
Well, now, wait
hotel.
A second. What about this? Now, when I have, like, when I have a weekend that I'm doing shows there, can you go down then?
Yeah. I tried to invite myself last week to go with you.
Did you?
Yeah. You said, I really like to take Billy, and I cut this out of the podcast because I was a little embarrassed. As I shot my shot, and it got rejected at the hoop. You're like, I like to take Billy, and I wish I could take Billy. And I'm like, I'll be Billy. I'll go with you.
Oh, I don't think I put two and two together there.
Well, I mean, it is higher math, and you are from Georgia.
Two and two is four. Yeah, I got it. Well, shoot, I'm sorry. I didn't put that together.
It's okay. I had forgot that I had signed up to make coaches lunch for 15 football coaches on Sunday.
Wait, are you sure you didn't tell me that you had something going on that weekend anyway?
Nope, because I forgot about that completely.
Huh, okay.
It was a good thing I didn't go, because I had to make some gravy.
You mean like you had to make some money?
No, I had to make some marinara.
Oh, wait, ugh. Are you one of these people that calls spaghetti sauce gravy?
Only on the podcast.
Well, I hate that this
Actually, I didn't even make marinara. I made ragu.
You just opened up a jar and poured it in there?
No, I mean, it's got the meat in it. It's ragu.
Oh, that's like the name. It's not just...
Marinara is just a tomato sauce.
Right.
I'm going to talk with my hands now.
Yeah, I didn't know how Italian you were all of a sudden.
You know I moved here from Italy, right?
Hey, gabagoosh.
I remember when I first moved to Wichita Falls from Italy, I was like, okay, first of all, nobody rides a bike anywhere. And secondly, all the food is oversalted. And then a year later, I'm like, can you pass the salt?
Well, look, I got to get back home because Lee and I are traveling to Jackson tomorrow after I get off work. So we got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout, and then it's something about Jackson. So, yeah, I got to get home. I got to get some rest, pack a bag, and I still got to go to work tomorrow.
We've been thinking about Jackson ever since the fire went out.
I'm going to Jackson. You turn loose on my coat.
You're ready for karaoke.
I'm going to Jackson. Goodbye, that's all she wrote.
Mitch and Kelly, and we're
still stuck in Texas.
All the time.
I will be going to Jackson, though, so I get a little bit of a break.
You're breaking free.
But then I got to come back to Texas.
Because you got to do the podcast.
Amarillo by morning. Actually, the only words I know of that song.
I am also going away this weekend. I'm leaving tomorrow for Rocklahoma.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun.
It's a 3-day rock fest, but it has a bonus fourth day, and I want to go see Warrant tomorrow night.
Ooh, she's my cherry pie.
Got to see it.
I would go watch an entire concert just so long as they closed on that song.
You know they're going to close on that song.
I would hope so.
What else are they going to close on?
I know they had another song.
Hold on. I happen to be recording this in a classic rock studio, so let me look at artists. How do you spell Warrant?
A-N-T. Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Cherry Pie, Heaven, Sometimes She Cries, Cherry Pie, Down Boys, which actually made our classic rock 500. I know because I already passed it, and Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Uncle Tom's Cabin is a really good song.
I actually really like Cherry Pie. Prefer Apple, but Cherry Pie is good.
Man, it's a good song. This is a ballad about like a small town sheriff covering up a murder.
I like story songs.
Yeah, this, and that's what it is. It
goes, you don't get near as much story songs in rock as you get in country.
They even tell you in the first line that it's a story. They go, I'm going to get my voice right. Just for the record, let's get the story straight. Me and Uncle Tom were fishing. It was pretty late. I think I messed it up already.
I thought it was perfect. It sounds like an angel.
Out on a cypress limb above the wishing well, where they say it got no bottom, say it take you down to hell. And then it goes, over in the bushes and off to the right. And then it keeps going.
Why, if it's over in the bushes and off to the right, isn't this a strip club song too?
Over in the bushes and it hangs to the right. All right, I gotta go.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
I've got these shorts out of my mouth. We're going to have more than one yawn break today, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Wait, there's another one. Sneaking in behind it. Okay.
Okay. If we could get through this, oh man.
Oh my gosh, now you did that way.
Yeah, that was my fault.
You wrote that way. Oh, it was rewarding though. I liked it.
So, yeah.
Hold on. Yawn break. Oh, thanks. They're so damn contagious.
So. Excuse me. Go ahead and do yours.
It's coming.
I